Bats are dying across North America from a fungal infection called white nose syndrome. The fungus makes hibernating bats burn up the fat stores they use to get through winter, among other symptoms, and can lead to their death within a few months. With me to talk about this and what's being done to try to stop the spread is Dr. Jeremy Coleman, the National White Nose Syndrome Coordinator for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And Jeremy, how significant has this fungal infection become?
This is something that came out of the blue in 2007 when white nose was first discovered. There was nothing on record that would prepare the bat or the conservation community for this disease. White nose syndrome was first discovered in New York State in 2007 and has now spread rapidly to 31 states across the U.S. And as far as overall impacts, you know, millions of bats have died as a result of this disease. We're studying the impacts now, trying to come up with a newer estimate, but from a few years ago, we determined that over 6 million bats have died as a result of white nose syndrome, and it's affecting multiple species, some of which appear to be faring okay, but there are three species that have been really hit hard by this disease, with mortality exceeding 90%.
It sounds, though, that researchers are maybe figuring out ways to counteract this. Is that right?
Yes. So one of the major goals of our national response plan has been to come up with management options, tools and treatments that we can employ to improve survival of affected bats and ideally, you know, reduce the spread of the fungus into new territories. A number of things are in the field actually being tested this winter. There's a product called chitosan, which is being used, which is a compound that's derived from naturally occurring materials. It's from shells of shrimp that has antifungal properties and has been, we're exploring that to see if there's a way that we can use that to again, retard the growth of the fungus and improve survival of bats. There's a group working on a vaccine, and that has been showing some promise. People looking at probiotics. One other thing just to mention is we are exploring altering the environments of the cave habitats or the mines where the bats hibernate, because we have found through research that we better understand the humidity and the temperatures at which the fungal pathogen grows best. And we're seeing if there's some ways that we can maybe manipulate those, either by maybe making the sites a little drier or a little colder, that are still within the range that the bats will tolerate, but will be less conducive to fungal growth.
How far along are some of these potential treatments?
So the progress on researching these treatments or these tools runs the gamut from things that have been kind of initially tested in the laboratory, challenges to look and see what will kill the fungus. You know, we have found that this fungus is susceptible to a number of things. There's basically a lot of things out there that can kill it. You know, bleach kills it very easily. Hot water will kill it. But finding the things that will kill the fungus and not kill the bats, and also minimize as much as possible, ideally prevent the what we call non-target impact effects of any treatment on other fungi or bacteria in caves is really one of the challenging areas.
Well, given the fact that you want to be careful with some of those natural cave environments, does that suggest that some of the treatments for bats who have already been infected, or maybe even the vaccine option that you mentioned, are those the ones that are maybe on the front burner for researchers?
Yeah, and that's one of the challenges that we have is, you know, getting any treatment to the bat or bats in ways that are not going to impact the environment. So things that can be applied possibly outside of a cave or mine to bats, like a vaccine, would be a very beneficial tool to have.
So for those of us who don't work with bats on a regular basis, what is the significance of the fact that so many bats are dying and that this fungus is the reason for it? What is missing, I guess, in our environment if we don't have these bats that are dying?
Well, the bats that are affected by white nose syndrome are insectivorous, meaning they eat insects, and bats are the primary consumer of night flying insects in the temperate zone where in North America where they're being affected by white nose syndrome. And so at the scale that we're talking, the impacts to the bat population basically translates to millions of tons of insects that are not being consumed now by these depleted bat populations. Many of those, however, are agricultural pests that now are going unchecked, could have impacts to agriculture and have real tangible effects on human health, in that farmers could potentially need to deploy more pesticide to control insect populations, that the bats were, you know, a function they were performing naturally for them. That then in turn is not only additional cost for the production of food, but then puts more chemicals in the environment and on our food, so that people then perhaps are coming in contact with these compounds, pesticides, in their vegetables and fruits and things that, would not have been there perhaps otherwise.
Jeremy Coleman is the National White Nose Syndrome Coordinator for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Jeremy, thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.